Yeah, I think we're still making our way through the English letter on page 276. Have you ever seen this one from 2 weeks ago, man? 276. We'll read through the paragraph and then we'll try best to assembly that to understand a little bit. Since the halachic gesture is not to be abstracted from the person engaged in it, so the Rav explained that the Talmud Torah is essentially a creative act, and creativity is inseparable from the person engaging in the creativity. I cannot see how it is possible to divorce halakhic cognition from axiological premises or from an ethical motif. What does that mean? He's going to explain. If halakhic research, again, the English is, if you were writing in Lashon HaKodesh, I think it would say Talmud Torah. If halachic research were limited to its interpretive phrase, deciphering some obscure text, such a discrepancy between the logical and axiological judgments would be warranted. Since, however, halachic thought is creative, original, flowing from the inner recesses and mysterious spring wells of the personality, where logical, cognitive, and ethico-axiological motives are interwoven, any attempt at separation would result in crippling human creativity. From my own experience, I know that in any halachic investigation, I have always been guided by a dim, intuitive feeling which pointed out to me the true path. And this intuition has never been stripped of an ethical intention. Of course, in speaking of an ethical, the Rav says when he's presented with a shaila, you got a shaila a lot about something which is a beferish din in Shulchan Aruch. Something which is, which you need to, a new shaila. He has an intuition that it's inconceivable that the Torah, again fill in the blank, depending upon the shaila, permits this. It's inconceivable that the Torah prohibits this, depending upon what the shaila would be. Of course, in speaking of an ethical moment implied in halachic thinking, I'm referring to the unique halachic ethos, which is another facet of the halachic logos. It doesn't mean his own subjective feeling, his own contrived ethical feelings. I do not, however, intend to say that current ethical standards are the determinants. Excuse me. Far from it. At times, the halachic ethos runs contrary to popular ethical notions. Hence, one must exercise great caution in isolating the ethical moment of halachic cognition. Okay, what does this mean? It's not clear to me how, to whomever this letter was written, could possibly have understood this if he didn't then read all of Isha Halacha. And now to unpack this paragraph, we're going to read something that hadn't even been written yet when this letter was written from the Rav's Hesped for Velva, where he describes Reb Chaim's method. Let's take a look here. If you have the sheets from this morning, I will say. From page 70 here, this is the hesped that the Rav gave for his uncle, for Valvo. It was given here in Lamport Auditorium. The Izan v'chike v'tikein v'shalom harbe. Yichudo shel Dodi Zal, his uniqueness, netgala, was revealed v'ikar b'shloshet ha'yesodot, in the three fundamental principles, which a person is asked about when he has to give a din v'cheshbon. Kavat itim haTorah, nasasim nasata b'emuna, tzipisa liyeshua. Natzchil b'yisod haTorah, yachid b'doro hayah b'torato. He was unique in his understanding of Torah. Kana nirotza liyachedet hadibor al avi, dodi v'avi avo, rebein ha'godol, Hashem Mipev Anu Chayim Umeimov Anu Shotem Rabbi Chaim Ishbrus Umishnaso. Rabbi Chaim Hayachit Shavadoru Vagam Beharbe Dorosha Kadmula Shideid et Ma'archot Halacha Vehalat Chanim Chadashim Umidot Havana Vahavchana Shalo Hayum Mitsuyot Ba'olam Halomdim. He provided new content, different methods of understanding and differentiation, which weren't present in the world of Lomdei Torah. Hu echnis ma'apecha gemura b'cheshiva u'b'hakara ha'hilchiyot. He brought about a revolution in halachic thinking and understanding. Davar zeh afilu ba be'rav d'chad yom yodea. Everyone knows that. V'meh hitbarta shitat b'vichem ha'mahapchanit. How did it express itself? If not for Reb Chaim, Torah would have been forgotten. And we wouldn't be able to teach Torah. We wouldn't be able to disseminate Torah in this era. Chazal used that lashon, and I think Rabbi Avivasra, about what's his name, the Kohen Gadol, who was the first one to introduce the. It's kind of ironic that I'm forgetting the name. Moses Zachar also Yishevatov, because he did this, and that's terrible. And I'm forgetting his name, but the Kohen Avivasra in the second parak says that the Kohen Gadol who introduced the first system of chadorim, of yeshivas. Until that point, that if someone had a father, and the father could teach him Torah, so then he was taught Torah. And if a person didn't, if it was a yosom, or for whatever reason the father couldn't teach him, so then he fell through the cracks with one of the son. And he introduced that, no, you have to have a cheder where the boys will go to learn. Then later, the Rambam writes, takes this lashon, he borrows this lashon, and he applies it to Rav Sadigan. He says that for all the Rambam's disagreements with Rav Sadigan, he says that Rav Sadigan's historical role is that umalehu nishtak chotar meisraf. If not for Rav Sadigan, so there would have been assimilation, and then Rav Sadigan was the one who who taught Torah, and the Rav says it about Reb Chaim. What does he mean? What does he mean by that? So there is a story. I think my father's a friend of Bacha, juxtaposes this story to this line here in the Hesped, that when Reb Chaim was a little boy, so the Beis HaLevi used to repeat Reb Chaim's Chidushim on occasion. He repeated Reb Chaim's Chidushim to himself. Salanta was the same generation as the Beis HaLevi, so one generation above Reb Chaim. So he would tell him, so Reb Chaim already been Ma'alol of Yisnaka now, already when he was a very little boy, so the difference and the singularity, the uniqueness were already discernible. And already then he was saying Reb Chaim's Torah. So the Beis HaLevi had occasion to repeat the Chidushei Torah to Rishal Salanta. And Rishal Salanta listened, and he said, the next generation will learn Torah the way your son does, and that will save us from Haskalah. That was Rishal Salanta's reaction. So Rishal Salanta's comment and what the Rav say here are being mechavein l'dover echad in the sense that the allure of Haskalah in exposing people to all the different disciplines of Western thought and culture, and people experienced the secular knowledge in a way that resonated more and registered more upon them than they did from their learning of Torah. And Reb Shal Salanta said that when they'll hear Reb Chaim's Torah, so then they'll realize that the most profound ideas, the most profound truth is in Torah. It's not in you don't have to, you don't and shouldn't obviously look elsewhere, but it's within Torah. And presumably that's what the Rav has in mind here also. Maha Anika Hashkachal Reb Chaim. What did Providence, with a capital P, bestow upon Reb Chaim. Moach Harif Kain, Amkus Vadai, Havana Vehekev Baron. Bram Teirim Eila, these descriptions, Adain Enam Mimatsim Et HaChadash, HaMiuchad VaHamasuyam Shevitzirat Reb Chaim. But it doesn't distill what was new, what was unique, what was distinct in Reb Chaim's creativity. Mahem simanei ha-heker shel shitato. Nashiv na'al shela zo b'madbeya paradoxoli mush'al. We'll borrow a paradoxical figurative description. Hatara hayta nesu'al Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim's relationship with Torah was that of Nisuin. B'sha'a sh'liyete g'dolei doro hayta me'ureset. Ele g'dolei hador, the connection, the relationship was one of Erison. Reb Chaim's is one of Nisuin. Mitoch heset zeh, shal hazikah mitchum ha'Erison u'tchum ha'Nisuin. Right, Tumas Hesed is when you move something, right? So Mitoch Hesed Zeh, from moving from the connection from the realm of Erisin to the realm of Nisuin, Nolda was born HaMapecha HaEpistemologit Methodologit, the epistemological, methodological revolution HaNekret L'Shmo Shel Reb Chaim, which is associated with Reb Chaim. The fichach al yehi adav hazeh kal ve'enecha. לפעמים התורה נקנית לאדם ונעשית שלא על ידי אירוסין. ולפעמים, and at times, מתייחדת עמו ומזדווגת בו על ידי נישואין. All right, so already here, the Rav is alluding to what he's going to elaborate, the difference between an eirusin connection and a nisuin connection. An eirusin connection is described as a kinyan, and the nisuin connection is described as becoming one, a joining of minds and hearts, as opposed to just kinyan. Hasugya bebrachos omeres Torah tivolanu Moshe Marasha kenas Yaakov al tikre Marasha ela mu'urasa hakesher ben tamal chacham v'torasa hushva lekinyan erusin. The connection between the tamal chacham and Torah is compared to erusin. Mitzad acher ana motzim v'ksubis shahagemara meta'er zikat tamal chacham v'torasa b'mitbei nisuin. הסוגיה שם דורשת כמנחומה את הפסוק בספר החוכמה, בספר משלי, יהי מקור חבורך וסמך מאשס נעורך איילס אהובים ויאלס חיין, ועבוס לתשקה תומד, ביחס לתור ולומדיה. ברי, it's clear, שכוסף זה, this פסוק in משלי, אינו עוסק באירוסין קים בניסוין. אירוסין ניסוין שני שלבים הם בתהליך חלות הראשות. There are two stages in the process of creating ishus. Mavlitim heim, they accentuate, shtei tzurot nifradot, two different forms, shel hakesha ha'atik, the ancient bond, hanotza, which is created, bein ish le'isha, between a man and a woman, between husband and wife. Yesh havdel musriyam en shnei shlavei ha'relizatzi shel hakashut ha'ishut. There's a distinct difference between the two stages of realizing this connection. Erusin mushtatim al kinyan. Erusin is based on kinyan. V'hazika, and the connection, nigbat, is established. Ayidei pu'lat suranit halachit chukit. Again, through a maisa kinyan. Mushrashati b'hachlatat rutzon chavshit u'badas makna u'mischayeves. Again, the same das which we associate with kinyanim is the type of das that's necessary, which is necessary in erusin as well. You know, there is a machlokes between Reb Chaim and the Avner Miluim. Every word is so meduyik. The Avner Miluim has he was quote all of Shas, obviously. But there's a ran in the third parak of Nedarim that he comes back to time and time again. And based on that, the Avner Miluim says that in Erusin, so the Baal has Das, and the Isha just has to have a Nichusa. Ena Isha Miskadeshes El Midaita. There's no such thing as Kiddushin Baal Kocha, but it's not that it's not that the Isha's Das plays the same role as the Das of the Ish. No, the Ish has a das kona, and the isha has an ichusa that she consents, right? That's not the way. It's not the way one would describe the mecha chumemka. One wouldn't say that the lokeach has a das kona, and that the mocha has an ichusa. One wouldn't say that the mekabel matana has a das. Has a das kona and the Nosein Ratana has a Nechusa that should leave his Rishus. No, there's a Das Mak and there's a Das Kona. There's always a bilateral Das. So the Avner Miluim thinks that's not the case by Kiddushin. Reb Chaim, in the talk about the piece about Kiyum Hadavu, where he's talking about the Sugi and Kiddushin Yiyud, you'll take a look. He says, I mean, if you... if we've seen the Avnei Miluim, he's clearly coming Lafuke from the Avnei Miluim. So it says no. It says that by Kiddushin, the Das Ha'ish and Isha, again, the Maisa Kiddushin is performed by the Ish, that the Das of the Isha plays an equal role. That's what the Rav says here also, right? The Das Makna Umischayevas Hazikahi Kinyanit Isuvit. Well, you could push back against that. But you should be matzav zamit matzed beikara beisur haishal kol olam vehashlila shaba meruba al hachiyuv. Adayin hi asura al baile midivei sofen. Obrus varusa shtei chativot existantzia leotein. There are the two different existential units. Tchumei kiyumam, the domain of their existence, musuyagim hem adayin, they're fenced in. Tchum tachum beyichudo hametafizi. They're separate. The Oros and the Arusa are separate people. They live in separate domains. Ha'ish behit bad bluta, v'ha'isha behit bad bluta. Hagvul hamafred, the border which separates ben shnei kiyumim, between these two existences, lo nimcha, hasn't been erased. He gara beveis aviha, v'hu gara beveito. And that represents something very fundamental, right? That living arrangement represents, mirrors something which runs much, much deeper than that. Hayiudim shonim heim, umavlitim simenei heker tochniyim mahutiyim mishalahem. B'mashma'ut psichet chavayatit, and the psychic experiential level, adayin zarim heim, they're strangers. Hazikahi chitzonit, the connection is external, tzuranit, formal. Hahatama hurkava al hatzad ahelchi hatachni. The connection is a legalistic one, a technical one. B'nisuin, Ofek ha'ishut mitrachev mitamek, the horizon of ishus is broadened and runs deeper. Rabbi Eliezer shel hanisuin ba'a al yedei yichud chupa. Maybe we'll come back to the neder maybe at some point to these four lines. Let's just skip to Mahi, skipping four lines. Mahi ma'uto shel yichud chupa ha'oros va'arusa kochem et chayehem b'kiyum achid. They intertwine their existence, their lives into one unified existence. Govalehem mit mazgim, their destinies join, yiudehem mit lagdim, umin hayichud noledet hayachdut hamitit, and through the yichud of chuppah is born a genuine togetherness, oneness. Yesh biyichud chuppah min hasimliyut, it symbolically represents shel shituf nisyonot harpatkaot v'etgarim shel kritat brit metaphysit existential. Okay, fine. Let's skip to Bahavasa Tishka Tomim. Gamzik asen la Torah du parzufiti ka'amor b'rosh haperek. Our connection to Torah also has these two aspects. Zikas eris in ketzen. Adam Yisrael yachol lezkot b'torah kedarach she'acher konen nechassim o mekadesh yishem b'kenyan kesef v'shtar. A person can be zochen in Torah the way you acquire nechassim. Muvan she'b'sha'a she'kenyan be'etzem gufani al kol kalim etbalei b'pula simlit ha'meida al yitziyah me'rishut makne v'knisa l'rishut zochen. הקניין בנכס רוחני אינו מתקיים על ידי מעשה צורני, כי אם על ידי התמכרות עצומה, יגיעה בלשון חכמים. It's clear, right, that whereas the way you acquire something physical, an economic asset, is through a symbolic act, which attests to the fact that it's going from the ownership of one to another, acquisition for something, for a spiritual asset, doesn't happen through a formal symbolic act, but through incredible devotion. Yigiyo b'lashon chachamim. Balutoh shel hayager b'talmudo noseit pri u'mitbadei b'yidiyat ha'torah v'havanata. The person who's yager b'talmudo, who applies himself assiduously, he works hard, day in, day out. It bears fruit. Bakihu b'halachot, he's expert in halachos. Yodehu l'horot u'mitmatzei b'nyaneh shel Torah. He knows how to paskin, and he's oriented in all areas of Torah. Manchil hu l'atzmo b'kiyut v'gam charifut. He acquires for himself encyclopedic knowledge, and he can use that encyclopedic knowledge for charifus as well. Yadav v'av lo b'mechmanei halacha. V'hi shayechet lo b'mashmaut mishpatit rishmit. Kvar amru chazal Torah dilehu. דחסיב קיים בשרס השם חפצו ובשרסו יגע ים על הלילה. מתחילה מקרי תרס השם ומשלמדו, משלמדו וגורסו, היא נקרס תרסו. בקיצר, אודם שקידש את התורה והיא נתארסה לו, בכוחו לעלות לדרכה גבוהה של למדנות ולהופיע אפילו כאחד מאחד מהדוע. This eris in connection can even elevate a person to being one of the handful of the Chachmei Ador, b'yado l'chaber svarim abei erech v'leshev al midin. He can author svarim of great value, and he can paskin. Taraso shotafes ubar misfirat bina. His Torah flows from in the sfiros, in the Esa sfiros, from the sfira of bina. What does bina represent? Ha havana ha iyunet ha shanana. Analytic understanding, hamesaderet v'hamenasachet, which organizes and formulates and brings order to things. Ulam, and here we come to what the paragraph is that the Rav was writing about in the English letter. Yeshna da'gal l'malo mimena. There is a level above that. There's a level above having encyclopedic knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula. Lefarim haTorah niset la'adam u'mizdaveget imo. At times, Torah, there's a connection in Yisuin. It blends with a person. It joins with a person. It becomes one with a person. Nisu'eha imo, the Nisuin of Torah with that person, kamim ayedei yichud, again, just as in the Moshel, Yichud brings about Nisuin. Here too, again, the Yichud brings about a togetherness, a oneness. HaTorah nikletat, Torah is absorbed into Nivchei Yeshuto, his innermost recesses, umitmazeget imo. And again, it blends with him, becomes one with him. Misha zacha l'chach. One who merits that, Zochel l'neshama yisera, nishmas ha-Torah, shemimena bokeh mayan ha-bracha. From this neshama yisera, this nishmas ha-Torah, arises, breaks, the spring of bracha breaks through. Kesha ha-pirud bein ha-adam v'Torah musat l'gamre mirshuto. When the separation between a person and Torah is totally removed. Niftachim lefanav, what's open before that individual is lavak memtes sha'arei chashiva v'hakara hilchiyot. It's not just that the person can now engage in halachic thought and understanding, אלא גם ממתס שערי הרגשה וחזות הלכיות. He now has halachic feeling, halachic vision. Lo nefesh maskeles bilvad, not only does he have a nefesh which understands, which cognizes, ki im nefesh ba'alat chazon hilchi, no sein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a nefesh which beholds halachic vision. Ha-chashiva ha-hilchiyit, ha-hilchit, ha-hegyonit, for this rare individual, ha-chashiva ha-hilchit, ha-hegyonit, mitparneset, halachic thought, logical halachic thought, is nurtured min ha-chazut v'ha-chazon ha-trum sichliim, from a precognitive vision, hamit partsim, which break forth besa'ar, like a storm, mimakei ishiyuto, from the depths of his personality, shahashra'at hakodesh chofefet aleha, into itzya mistoridzo, again, he uses the exact same word, this mysterious intuition, hi mekor hayitzira v'hachidush ha-helchiyim. This is the source of creativity, halachic creativity and innovation. Ein ha-seichel ha-kaptani ba'al ha-hagdara ha-meduyaket v'ha-nuscha ha-behira, the precise intellect which engages, which provides precise definition and lucid formulations, the Seina Sechel Choshev, that the Sechel only thinks, only produces Elamasha HaNefesh HaChazionit Misapeket Lo, what the visionary soul provides. Isha Halacha SheHatorah Niseit Lo Udveka Bo Ro'eh Tochnim Helchiyim. He sees, margish, he feels, idiot helchiyot, ki ilu hayu, as though they were tochnei kol maravarech, as though they were sounds, visions, fragrances. Hu chai lo rak behalacha ki im et halacha. He lives the halacha. Kamo shu hu chai ba'olam, ve'et ha'olam b'shlal tzva'av, b'tzlilav, b'rechotav, u'b'chomo. The same way in the physical world, so we feel, we sense, we experience colors, sounds, fragrances. And again, all that is not an intellectual process. So too, the this rear person has that, again, precognitive connection to Torah. B'shlav zeh haTorah mitgalet laAdam lo rak b'vchinat bina. At this stage, Torah is revealed to a person not only in the aspect of bina, of understanding, hamisamenet, which indicates et hasichliyut, hasha'anana, hamivareret v'hamivakeret, the intellectualism which clarifies, which critiques, kiyim gam, but Torah is also revealed derech tzinoroteha, through the pipes, through the conduits shel sfirat ha-chochma, through the sphere of chochma. The those who popularize, I don't mean that lignai, ideas in Kabbalah, so they quote, that in Kabbalah the word chokhmah is seen as a composite of the two words koachma. Again, if you just reverse the order of the first two letters, right? Koachma. Ma in the sense of mashahu. That chokhmah refers to when there isn't a fully formed idea that, that can be translated into words, there isn't a fully developed conceptual distinction, but there's a seed. And the koach of the ma, there's a seed, there's an intuition. That's what the Rav was describing, that when he had a shayla, so before he could tell you, maybe superficially, this case seems comparable to a case which is mutter. But there was an intuition that it isn't. Or maybe superficially, this is comparable to a case that is also, but there's an intuition that it isn't. There's a koach ma. It's pre-cognitive in the sense that at that point, it's somewhat inchoate. He can't explain it. He can't defend it. That comes at the second stage, when that intuition is again through tremendous hard work on behalf of that individual is translated and is developed and is fleshed out into logical categories and conceptual distinctions. But right away, people have this lahavdil in other fields also. The biggest doctors will have this in medicine. They'll have an intuition about a certain case, about whether a certain treatment will work or won't work, and it isn't one that, again, it's before it's at a stage that it can't be articulated yet, because it's not even in their own minds, it doesn't yet exist as a clearly defined concept or line of reasoning. That's what the Rav is describing. This description, I once heard the following story from Reb Chaim Yaakov Godel, the founding Rosh Hashiva in Kevin Biavla. So he told the following story, that Velvel used to go for daily walks for health reasons. And he used to take someone along to accompany him on the walks. And in his youth, so Reb Chaim Yaakov Godel was often the one who would accompany Reb Velvel on the walks. He said, I was zocher to them because I knew how to keep quiet. As others, if they had a chance, they would have rebelled. So, how come a Chinese don't talk? He didn't want that. He wanted someone to leave him alone and who would only talk if he wanted to talk. So he said, I know how to keep quiet. So he was zocher to accompany him in the walks. So he described how on one of the walks, Velvel was repeating the famous Beis HaLevi on Lasachma. Beis HaLevi on Lasachma quotes the Ibn Ezra's Kasha. The Chinuch talks about it also, that the Rabbim Tomhu b'mitzvah zo, how can the Torah legislate the Lasachmod? It's a kind of instinctive reaction. If a person is homeless, Rahman al-Atslan, and destitute and hungry, and he walks by and he looks in the window and sees someone sitting in a nice warm home with a plate of delicious food. So how can he not be homemade? So how can the Torah legislate something which is an instinctive mele? Action is deliberate. Okay, so we make a decision to do something, and Sarah says, don't do it. Okay, so decide not to do it. But if something is just an instinctive reaction, how can the Torah legislate? So Ibn Ezra gives his famous answer that the Beis HaLevi describes as Yofeh v'gam no'im. And then he says, but belav hachi eno kasha. And he gives the following famous moshel. He says, imagine someone who has this tremendous, maybe obsessive taiva. And he can't, or seemingly, can't free himself from the grips of this taiva. And it's winter time, and he's running across a frozen lake because he's very close to attaining whatever it is that he's obsessively focused on. And then all of a sudden, he slips, and he's falling. And he realizes that and all this passes through his mind in a split second, you know, that his weight will likely break the ice, and that he'll fall into and underneath the ice of the frozen river. So the Lady says, so what happens? So he's overcome with this fear. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the human personality is that when fear banishes all other thoughts. He said, that's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the human personality that way. That fear, that's why the difference between someone who panics and someone who doesn't panic is what you do afterwards, right? Is what you do afterwards. But fear, initially, it chases away all other thoughts. So he says, everyone knows from experience that what would happen to this person as he's falling on the ice is that obsessive taiva, that obsessive chimud that he had, is totally lost. Totally lost. He says the Beis HaLevi, so if take a look at the Lashon. You're not going to believe this. You have to see it inside. He says, even if we had a little bit of Yiras Chet, he said, comparable to the Yira that the person has who's falling on the ice, a little bit of Yiras Chet. He said, even if we had a little bit of Yiras Chet, he said, so that Yiras Chet would banish the Chimur. That's the Beis HaLevi is Shaitan Masafa. Right. So Revelvel is back to the walk. So Revelvel is they're walking, and Revelvel is repeating this. And then he stops. He stops, you know, sort of abruptly, and reaches out and grabs onto to Goldberg's arm, and says to him, you know, he says Azab Shad. He says, you don't say with a moach, you can only say with a life. Which Akanvav, which what that meant was that some pshatim you can only say drawing upon one's own experience. So there's no question, right? And there's no question that what the Rav is describing here when he's talking about the. You know how Reb Chaim's derech works. There's no question that he was not just drawing upon the moach; he was drawing upon the lev in terms of his own experience. Let's read a little bit more here. Again, on the bottom of page 74. Again, it comes to the Sfiras HaChochma. Shemimena, from the Sfira of Chochma, Mimena Shotefes her into Itzia, HaGaonet HaYotzeret, the genius creative intuition. HaChazut, the vision, Shema'of Va'omekla. It has sweep and depth. V'hi koveshet et yishimona havaya. Ha'adam shahatorah niseit lo, poteach, he begins b'toras ha'lev, v'choseim b'toras ha'moach. Ha'pula ha'hilchit ha'yotzaret, potachat lo b'chashiva. It doesn't begin with analysis. Kim b'chazon, with a vision, again, an intuition, a sense. Lo b'nisuach, not with a precise formulation, ki im be'imenucha, a certain restlessness. No, there's something amiss here. Right? There's something, the second line in the Gemara, there's something amiss here. Lo lo'or ha'bahir shalahi gayon, not to the bright, clear light of logic here, but alata hatrum hegyonit, but the fog of pre-logical sense. Hachazut matchila lahavik, it begins ka'orot hakosmim b'merchakim b'liachasim, like light, enchanting flashes of light at an infinite distance. Hanidlakim v'kavim. They're lit, and then they go out. Hamidgalim, they reveal, but then do'achim, and then they dim. Belel ofel v'sagrib. Chaserei v'tzifut hei maharot halalu. They're not consecutive, they're not continuous, these points of light. But they direct at hanoded, the one who's wandering, hamemashesh, who's groping, b'chashecha, in the dark, umevakesh et I haplaim haemet, kima kima hu chotze, little by little, hu chotze be'ezrat orot eile etchum ha'afela ha'sichlit umagir l'mchoz cheftzo ha'akara ha'bura. Little by little, the intuition lets him ultimately cross the line and come to understanding, where he's able to, again, it began with an intuitive sense that these two are different, that the Gemara that's being quoted against the Rambam, even though superficially it's exactly the same, but really it's different. La'at la'at, gradually, hu mitzarev et ha'orot l'shasharet zohar v'tzufa, he's able to combine these, again, points of light to a continuous chain, ha'mefitza noga rav, which sheds much light. That's what I was talking about here in this letter. And that's what he says, that part of that intuition inevitably is that lo yitachen that the Torah allows this, lo yitachen that the Torah prohibits it. But again, but that intuition is only of value when the person has such incredible gablus in Torah that, you know, that his instincts are Torah instincts. As opposed to, because otherwise a person, you know, if a person would, chas v'sholom, operate this way, without that level of gadlus in Torah, so then a person is just superimposing upon Torah alien values and then looking to make Torah conform to what alien values are. That's what the Rav means in the last sentence here. I am referring to the unique halachic ethos, which is another facet of the halachic logos. Hence, one must exercise great caution in isolating the ethical moment of halachic cognition. Related to this, I don't know that it goes as deep, but related to this, you know, there's a line, I think it was a Tosfos, but you can fill in the blank with any Rishon, obviously. The point is the same. Where someone, again, this doesn't quite run as deep, but on the same wavelength for her. Where someone once quoted a Tosfos to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim said, no, there's no such Tosfos. And he said, no, there is, I saw it not too long ago. And again, insist. So Reb Chaim says, no, there's no such Tosfos. So he goes, he brings the Tosfos, and I look at it, and Taka, he hadn't read it carefully enough. And the Tosfos didn't say what he thought it said, and Reb Chaim was right, there was no such Tosfos. So Reb Chaim said afterwards, he can believe half of the statement, and do what you will with the other half of the statement. So it's not, don't think that I know every Tosfos in Shas. Okay, you can do whatever you want with that. He says, but it's that I know what Tosfos can say and what they can't say. And what you were quoting, Tosfos couldn't say. Well, it means to have the same instinct, the same intuition, to have a Torah instinct, to have a Torah intuition. So again, it means the intuition. Again, this goes even deeper than that story goes, much deeper, but that's what the Rebbe is talking about here. Okay, this has more relevance to, again, not just to the letter, but the Isha Halacha, but maybe we'll leave that for next time.